My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris. He is a Middle Eastern expert and a professor of Middle East studies. He's an advisor to the U.S. House of Representatives, and his latest book is The Lost Spring, U.S. Policy in the Middle East and Catastrophes to Avoid. We want to get his reaction to the terrorist attack at Copenhagen, as well as the ISIS beheading of 21 Coptic Christians in Libya over the weekend. And Dr. Faris, it's good to have you with us, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for having me today.
Let's start with your call in particular in response to the ISIS video. You believe it's time for the United Nations Security Council to take a more active and direct role in confronting ISIS. Why do you believe they could potentially be a key player here, and what specifically would you like them to do?
First of all, let's all remember that those jihadi factions have been attacking civil societies and countries, not just against the United States, but every single member of the permanent security member of the list of the United Nations. So it is time, in my view, that the Security Council to issue a resolution, first of all, declaring not just ISIS and Al-Qaeda, but the entire network with its ideology as a threat to the international community, and therefore authorize all these governments to conduct not just separate campaigns and activities, but joint international campaign and well integrated against that group.
There's going to be a lot of people listening to this, Dr. Faris, who say that the UN sometimes gets involved in things like this, but oftentimes they don't really end up having that big of an impact, even if they do come out with fairly strong language, if history is any guide. So how do you go from making sure that the Security Council is making this clear and unambiguous statement to actually having an impact on the ground?
Because every time the Security Council of the United Nations voted on an issue, it was divided. There was a negotiation very hard, either between the United States and Russia, as have been the cases over the years, or France and the U.S. with regard to Iraq. But this situation is different. This is more so the situation that occurred in Korea, minus the Soviet Union then. But this time, even Russia would be on board. And the reason is that the international community needs to unify its resources. Besides, the United Nations is nothing but its own membership, meaning if the big guys at the Security Council decide to take action, issue a resolution, they can finally have a joint strategy. And nobody, no third country, usually those countries would say, well, this is not international, this is not done by law, would help. And I have in mind Qatar and Turkey, and of course Iran would oppose some issues. So all these countries, when there's a UN resolution, will have to comply. And second, more importantly, if there are any issue between the U.S. and Egypt, between Russia and some other countries, if it's done under the umbrella of the U.N., this should be helpful. So at the end of the day, Greg, it's really the intention of the five members, and in this case, it's happened that there's an alignment of planets.
Well, let's look at the P5, however. Russia obviously has many things it's focused on now, Ukraine being right there at the top of the list. China has not been very active in this. The U.S. just announced that our foreign policy is best described as strategic patience. So even if the Security Council as a whole is taking the lead, somebody has to kind of carry the baton at the beginning of the parade here. Who's that going to be?
Well, we all know it's not a secret that the United States has been and continue to be putting most of the efforts and energies and resources. But the question now is really a question of leadership. Do we want to lead this from behind? Or if we take the lead to the UN Security Council, we would lead it from the front. So I agree that while this is the thing to do, I'm not sure about what Washington's administration wants to do. That's a different discussion.
Let's talk a little bit more about the ISIS beheading of the Coptic Christians, and specifically the response from the relatively new Egyptian president, General al-Sisi. What do you make of his reaction and the fact that we're apparently already seeing some airstrikes over Libya?
Well, of course, I mean, this has been what Egypt should have done actually even earlier, because more of these individual Egyptians happen to be Copts have been killed before over the previous 6 months. But this has been so outrageous, the mass slaughter of, dozens of Copts in, you know, in front of the eyes of the world with this video, that President al-Sisi had no other choice than conducting these strikes. What is needed right now is a better coordination between Egypt and the government inside Libya that is fighting the terrorists. And let's not forget that Tunisia also has a new government, which is very close to the Egyptians. So There is a regional consortium which can be used in addition to African countries and the Sahel. Again, we go back to the initial point. We need an international leadership by the United States, by this administration.
What do you make of the statements coming out of the Obama administration Saturday and Sunday? Saturday in response to the terrorist attack in Copenhagen, where the word terrorism wasn't even used, much less a radical Islam. And then in the statement responding to the beheading of the Coptic Christians, they were referred to as Egyptian citizens, no mention of their faith whatsoever.
There is this general reluctance on behalf of the administration to engage in what we call the war of ideas or the ideological confrontation. They don't want to identify this as a as an ideological problem or crisis. So as you mentioned, when it's in Europe, basically these are extremists without defining what that means, or when it's in Libya, these are Egyptian citizens, though they were targeted because of who they were. I mean, if you apply what the president has said with regard to Texas drama, tragic killings of three citizens who are Muslim, and then the way he defined the slaughter of 21 cops, there's a big difference. In one case, it's because of who they were and what was their identity. In the other case, one of the cops, it's because they were Egyptian. So there is some correction to be done to our narrative, I guess.
You and I have talked many times, Dr. Farris, about the fact that you believe that it's necessary for this ideology to be defined and to be confronted, and for the United States and the rest of the West to be very specific about this, and even others beyond the West. Others might say, look, the administration has said ISIS is evil, they need to be defeated, they need to be destroyed. Does it really make that big of a difference how exactly they're defined? That it's been made very clear that he wants to eliminate them. So what do you say to those people who say that the exact description doesn't make that big of a difference?
Well, first of all, what the administration is doing and its advisors are doing is not a different description. It's a different identification. They are describing what is not defined. They're saying these are bad, these are criminals, these are extremists, but they never say who they are. And therefore, for example, in World War II or during the Cold War, all the presidents, Republicans and Democrats, define and designated what the ideology of the other side is, and then they build strategies.
Dr. Farris, we've obviously seen in recent weeks the reaction of King Abdullah and now the reaction of President Sisi. Are there others in the region that can reasonably be expected to react to the ISIS threat the way that these two leaders have?
Well, President Sisi and his government in Egypt, King Abdullah and his government in Jordan are the frontliners. They are also the closest allies. Remember, their militaries have been very close. They were partners with NATO, with the United States and Great Britain and others. So it is to be expected that they're going to take these measures. But behind them, I mean, North Africa, as I mentioned, the Tunisian armed forces are already battling AQN ISIS, very close from the French government. Also, they have good relations with them. They are backed by a secular government now. I see Tunisia coming into play. Inside Libya, let's not forget that half of the secular army is now battling the terror jihadists, and they are led by a general, General Haftar. So he is an associate. Then you look at the Gulf. You have the UAE participating in operations in Syria, and now with the Jordanians, the Saudis, other countries. And beyond that, let's not discount civil societies. At the end of the day, they were the ones who spring, and they should be the ones to be brought back to this confrontation, at least on the war of ideas.
Dr. Farris, we'll leave time there. Thank you, sir, very much, as always, for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Waleed Farris is a Middle Eastern expert, professor of Middle East Studies. He's an advisor to the U.S. House of Representatives, and he's the author most recently of The Lost Spring, U.S. Policy in the Middle East and Catastrophes to Avoid. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.